So we'll be discussing time management today. It is said that one who's in the on the platform of bhava, one of the qualifications is atyartika vaibhavam. Meaning he manages his time very carefully. He's a good manager of time because he doesn't want to waste any time. I guess the ultimate perfection of time management would be the gopis, because the gopis were so careful about time that they had managed all their waking hours, all the time that they were awake, so perfectly that they were 100% absorbed in thinking of Krishna. But there was a few split moments that they were still worried about, and that was when their eyelids blinked, because they were used to looking at Krishna with their eyes. But in the heavenly planets, the eyes don't blink. That's one of the qualifications. Also in Vaikuntha, they don't blink their eyes. So this blinking business is only for the lower planetary systems. Starting with our planet, the middle planetary system, we blink. So they were very upset with Brahma. Why have you made blinking for us on the earth? Because when we blink, we miss seeing Krishna. Just imagine. We don't even realize that we're blinking. How many times do we blink a day? Thousands? Hundreds of thousands? I don't know. So we don't even realize that we just blink away. But the gopis, that blinking, because then for that one split moment they couldn't see Krishna. Oh, they were so upset. They even chastised Brahma, said he's a dunce. You know what a dunce is? Dunce means fool. He's fool number one. He made these bodies with blinking eyes, and now we can't see Krishna. In Lord Chaitanya's prayer, he expresses the same mood of the gopis. One moment, feeling your separation, I'm considering one moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes, and I'm feeling the world is vacant in your absence. So they didn't want to miss being with Krishna even for one moment. For them it was like 12 years. A moment's separation. But we can get some good ideas then from them, how careful they were to utilize every moment in seeing Krishna, thinking of Krishna. So, now Prahlad Maharaj, he's also giving us, he was speaking to his young friends at the Asura Kula, and he was telling them that first consideration is don't waste time. That's our whole philosophy. Otherwise, you could say, that what's the difference if I come to Krishna consciousness now or in 500 million lifetimes? If I'm eternal, there's no loss. There's nothing to worry about. Eventually I'll come. And it doesn't make any difference because I'm not going to die. Someone could argue like that, so we'll see. Why are you so worried about it? When it comes, it comes. Some of our friends from India, they say like that. We encourage them, why don't you surrender to Krishna, and they say, when Krishna is wanting, I'll be surrendering. When the time is coming. So, that philosophy could be, but our view is that, no, why? It's such a tragedy to waste all that time. You're missing out. All this time could be used for enjoying the ambrosial bliss of serving Krishna. Time, Krishna says, kalasmi, I am time. We could be using this time for associating with Krishna. We could be enjoying happiness instead of suffering. We could be getting enlightened instead of becoming imposed in darkness. So Prahlada Maharaj said to his friends that generally a person in the material world sleeps 12 hours out of 24. Those who are really in the mode of ignorance. So that means 50% of his life is already wasted in sleep. Because when one is asleep, he's in ignorance. Even if he dreams something, it's generally not very cohesive. It's not very lucid. It's some vague thing with everything all mixed up. One person's, you know, playing the role of someone else, and they look different, or something a little weird. We can't remember exactly, and some strange circumstances. The dreams are not very organized. And even if they were well organized, they're not reality. They're a kind of hallucination. Isn't it? If you think back of some of your dreams, it would be like, you know, if you took LSD or something, that's until the dreams come out very all mixed up. And hallucinating, just making something up, nothing substantial. So we don't consider sleeping or dreaming as a good use of time when it's exceeding the amount that's required. So Prahlada Maharaj is saying the 12 hours means half your life is spent in sleep. Then he points out that when one is a child, he's simply playing with balls, sporting, doing something of no value. Another 10 years wasted up to the age of 20, because he spent half the time sleeping and the rest of the time playing games. Then when one gets old, he's simply reminiscing about the old days, thinking about when he was younger, lamenting. So it leaves a few years in the middle, and most of the time with those years, he's thinking how to make money, how to engage in sense gratification. So in this way, the whole life is lost without thinking of Krishna, without self-realization. So the first consideration in time management is, am I sleeping more than I need? Because if I'm sleeping 12 hours a day, then I'm losing a lot of time. So in our ISKCON, Krishna Consciousness Movement, Prabhupada set the standard or the general practice. He said 6 hours is sufficient. And then some places he said 6 or 7 hours. So we should try to work within that scope, even though we may have been used to sleeping more than that before. We should be cautious not to waste our time, because time is so valuable. Chanakya Pandit says, what's the most valuable thing? The most valuable thing is a moment of time. Because one moment of time cannot be purchased back once it's passed, even for all the gold in the world. If you have so much gold and you say, okay, who do I speak to about buying back some time? I would like to purchase, make the time go back. I have all this gold. You can't do it. There's no amount you can pay to purchase back the lost time. So it's the most valuable thing, really. Everything else you can buy, practically. You can buy stocks, you can buy automobiles, you can even buy people, but you can't buy back time once it's passed. So, and the other thing is that manusham durlabham janma, this human form of life is very rarely achieved. It's not easy to get. There are 8,400,000 species, and Of those, only a small portion are human, and most of those human species are lower, uncivilized groups, which are not very conducive for self-realization. But we have a civilized, higher form of life, you could say, that is quite suitable for understanding self-realization. We see. We're able to understand it. We can grasp the idea of spiritual world. We can grasp the idea of eternity. We can grasp the idea of soul being different from the body. We can grasp the idea of supreme being. We're able to understand these things. And we can engage in bhakti, devotional service. Our situation is not so torrid that we cannot concentrate. In other words, in the lower planetary systems, sometimes things are so vicious that if he tried to think about spiritual life, he'd have to be afraid that he might be eaten by someone else. We're not afraid of being eaten by someone else. We're sitting here peacefully. We're not thinking, who's going to eat me? So that means middle planetary systems are the ideal place. They're even better than being in the heavenly planet, because the heavenly planet, the enjoyment level is so high for sense gratification that it's hard to draw oneself away. There's just all kinds of said there that the men and the women are thousands of times more attractive than they are here. It's already difficult enough. Detaching ourselves from the beauty of the opposite sex, what to speak of in the heavenly planets where they're thousands of times more beautiful. And the whole atmosphere is surcharged for sense gratification. So, we have a good opportunity. Human form of life is ideal, especially on the middle planetary systems, especially in Kali Yuga. Because Kali Yuga, one can make spiritual progress and become self-realized in a very short time, one quick lifetime. Our lives are only 100 years, and all we have to do is chant Hare Krishna, basically. That's basically it. And then we become qualified to go back to home like the Godhead. It is said in the Bhagavatam that the residents of some of the higher planets are waiting in line to take birth in Kali Yuga, so that they can participate in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. It's such an easy way to go back to home, back to God. Namo Mahavaranaya, Krishna Prana Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gaura Tushinama. Lord Chaitanya has made it very easy. Okay, so let's keep an eye on our sleep. Let's not waste our time. Self-realization will require all the time we've got at our disposal. It's easy. It's an easy process, but still, we should take it seriously. Not waste time thinking, I'll think of Krishna just before I die. When that's what the Prahlad's friend said. We're young now, Prahlad. We want to play. Let us play. When we get old, we'll take up spiritual life in another day, when we get old. But Prahlad said, no, you don't know when your time will come. Who's to say who's old, who's young? And how do you know you'll have enough notice to think of Krishna? And if you're not practiced to chant and think of Krishna, then it'll be difficult. We should be ready, prepared. Because that moment, ante narayana smriti, that last moment before leaving the body is crucial. If one thinks of Narayana or Krishna, then he's successful, he's achieved perfection. Next thing we'll discuss is regulation. managing our time. For example, if there are certain times of the day or night that are better for certain things, then that's good use of time. And we know from the Vedic scriptures that they are very, very, very astute on knowing which times are best for which things. For example, there's a period called Muhurta in the morning before the sunrise, 2 hours before the sunrise, called Brahma Muhurta. This is the best time for Brahma, for making spiritual advancement, for understanding spiritual things. Therefore, everyone should be awake during that time if they want to take advantage of it. It's like, when the store has certain times of the year they have sales. And if you want to buy those things in the store, then you go there during the sale times. You get it 1/3 the price because they need to move out their stock for new coming. So if you know that, you plan ahead. Well, I'm going to buy these things at this in January because it's a sale, 1/3 the price. So Brahma Muhurta is a very good time for making spiritual advancement. And if one is sleeping then, it's not a good time to sleep. Wasting time. He could be making so much more progress just by being awake then and chanting and hearing about Krishna. So we should organize our day, our schedule, around the times that are most conducive or making progress. Similarly, staying up late at night is generally not very conducive because the modes of ignorance and passion are very strong. You see, when do the sense gratifiers become very excited at night? They like to stay out late. I remember when I was staying in London for some time at Soho Street Temple. Have you been there before? The temple. Well, you know the rooms are right on the street there. So at night, we're taking rest early and getting up early, but they're staying up late outside screaming. Almost every night there was some kind of a violence out there. Someone was screaming, he was being mishandled. Because they're drinking and trying to, like cat and dog, they come out at night and they growl and they fight and they, one, the female is making her pleas, she's making her sounds, I'm available, and the men are fighting with each other and they're. So this is the same kind of the cat and the dog's activities. They like to stay out late and behave like that. But Benjamin Franklin said, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. And it's a good statement. It's true. So try to organize the lifestyle so that we take rest early, get up early. Better than staying up late, getting up late. It's better for becoming healthy, wealthy, and wise if those things are interesting to you. If you're interested in those things. Do you like that? Health, wealth, and wisdom? Those are good things. Then, let's look at self-discipline. So here's a question. Suppose a person realizes that it is good for them to obey the laws, but they are still forced to disobey the law from time to time. Okay, let's consider sleep. Ideally, our intelligence selects a specific regulated time for us to sleep, whereas our mind may wish to sleep at any moment that it is tired. Allowing the mind to do what it impulsively wishes to do is not always the best course of action. Suppose the mind yearns to take a nap while you're driving a car. You're the driver, and you think, your mind says, I'll take a little nap now. You're tired. While you're driving, you know, sometimes, have you ever experienced that? You're driving and your mind, some little voice says, close your eyes. Just take a little nap. You'll probably keep going straight anyways. If you just take a little nap, and you'll open your eyes in a few seconds, you'll feel rested, and you'll be in the same lane. You'll continue going. This little voice comes. This little crazy voice. And you have to immediately say, no! That's ridiculous! I can't close my eyes while I'm driving. I can't take a nap now. Because if you don't say that, and you entertain it, saying, well, maybe. Maybe not right here, maybe later. Then it's dangerous. So many people die every year on the roads. They fall asleep. So there are certain times that are just not conducive for sleeping. And we have to be very firm about that. No, this is not good. Discipline. I cannot sleep now. So, we should be careful about submitting to impulses, moment-to-moment impulses. We should use our intelligence and take guidance from higher authorities. What is a good use of our time or our life? Actually, first we're talking about time management. The first consideration is, well, what should I do with my life? Don't you have to figure that out? Most people, they don't, if you ask them, what are you going to do with your life? They say, well, I'll just go through life and enjoy my senses. But is that the proper use of the time, of human form of life? Don't you think that's an important consideration? Like if a child says, I'm going to live my life, I want to always be intoxicated. The parents will say, this is not a good idea to always be intoxicated. No, you should be alert and awake. Or if a child says, I want to sleep all my life, I find this world too difficult, I just want to sleep. So, we must first of all consider what is the most important use of this life. And then, because simply saving time to waste again, like if someone saves money, but then after he saves all the money, then he misuses it, well, what's the use of saving all the money? This human form of life, if properly utilized, is considered very valuable. But if it's not used properly, it's compared to a miser. One who does not use the human form of life for self-realization is considered a miser. A miser is one who has a lot of money, and he hides it, and he keeps it very carefully, but he never spends it. So what is the use in having it? He never spends it, and then he dies never having spent it, and he doesn't tell anyone where it was, and it's lost. No one gains. He's a miser. Having the human form of life is like having millions and billions of dollars. We have such a great opportunity for realizing self-knowledge. Brahma-jigyasa, atato brahma-jigyasa. And if we don't utilize it, we've wasted millions and millions of dollars. Humans. This is the special advantage of human life over all the other species. Now, let's look at the life as a whole. Generally, we can consider the lifetime as 100 years. Although maybe a little less now. 100 years is the maximum. But so if we divide our life according to the Vedic culture, the life should be organized. The first 25 years for education. And that's quite sensible, isn't it? We see children love to learn. They love education. If you tell a child, they're so interested to learn. They want to learn everything. They learn languages very fast. Much quicker than an old person. Try to teach a 60-year-old new language. And try to teach a 6-year-old language. You'll find a 6-year-old will learn very quickly. Like this computer. Now the young people, they learn computers very easily. Old people have such a hard time. Isn't it? It's not the time for learning. Old age is compared to like bamboo. Or bamboo. When the bamboo is young, you can bend it. And it doesn't break. That's why when they make these bamboo furniture, they use young green bamboo. They can bend it and it will stick. But when the bamboo gets old and yellow and dry, you try to bend it, crack. So best time for education is up to from 0 to 25 years. Then the next stage is a good time for economic development. We see from 25 to 50, people are very active and very strong, and they're very good at producing. That's the productive period of life. Grihastha ashram is quite suitable for production. The first 25 years, they don't produce anything. They're just studying. They're just learning. Isn't it? And the society doesn't expect, even in our Western society, they also don't expect much in return from the first 25 years. Because we know that they're learning now. After they're 25, now they'll begin producing. So it's quite a lot of time to invest in education. Right? If a person becomes a doctor, he doesn't generally begin practice, his own practice, till he's 25. He has to go to school all that time. It's such a detailed, or if he becomes a philosopher or a professor, it takes some time. So then the second stage is production. Producing children, producing families, maintaining society. Then the third stage is after 50, from 50 to 75, he's now retiring. Why? Because the signal is, there's a signal. Panchat arvam vanam vrajet. When one reaches the 50-year mark, this is a signal that, okay, now you're starting to go downhill. Up till then, one thinks, you know, I have so much energy and I can just go on and on like this. But then one reaches 50, then the energy starts to diminish. And it's a signal, watch out, be careful, death is coming soon. It's like when you're driving, they say, watch out, there's a curve coming up. You know, slow down. Sometimes they even say, when you're on the mountain roads and you're going down, they say, dead slow. At least in America they have this sign, just dead slow. They mean go really slow, like 5 miles per hour. Go real slow. Because if you go too fast, you go right off the cliff. When it turns, you'll be going too fast, and many people do that. They think, I don't care about these signs. Whoosh, right off the cliff. So they say dead slow. That means watch out. Death is, be careful. 50 years is the signal. Watch out. Now you can die at any moment. It's very easy now. And you're getting closer to death. So, what is the recommendation? Retire. Retire from working. And retire from producing children. Don't do that anymore. And the number there, go to the forest. Vladimir told his father, "Now, father, now it's time for you to go to the forest. Best forest is Vrindavan." The father didn't appreciate that advice, but better to retire now. And so, what to do in retirement? Play checkers? Play cards? Sit around and watch TV? Become a idiot? No. Retire means it doesn't work anymore, but he goes to holy places. He practices becoming detached from material things. He cultivates knowledge also. Knowledge, more he's performing sacrifices and austerities during this period, because that period of the Grihastha period is a period where one becomes very attached to everything, attached to family, attached to home, attached to job, attached to country, is attached to everything. So it's now he has to become detached, detox. If somebody's intoxicated, they have to go into a detox chamber, spend some time. So by going to the holy places and places of pilgrimage, it's very easy then to become detached because he's in a spiritual environment again. And it's gradual. It's not so intense. He doesn't have to study so many books necessarily, because that might be difficult. We've seen, we have a lot of experience with older people when they first start to take up devotional service. It's not easy for them to understand the philosophy so well. It takes them much, much longer to understand simple spiritual principles, philosophical principles, than a young person who can grasp it much easier. So, it's not the best time for that, but it is a good time for going and to holy places and becoming detached, living simply, simplifying your living now. Now, if someone practiced brahmacharya in the beginning, simple austerities during that student training, it will be much easier now. Those who did will gain, because it will be very easy then to reduce their standard of living. Then, at 75, after doing that for 22, at 75 then sannyas. And this goes for both men and women, because the four ashrams, they correspond practically together, because the woman also is engaged in producing children, raising the children, maintaining the family during the second period. And her first 25 years, at least some period of that, is for being educated. Then the vanaprastha stage is for both men and women. Women also take vanaprastha. They can go with the husband to the holy places. And then the last stage, where the man takes sannyas and travels and preaches, the woman goes back and lives with the family, but she preaches now. This is a very good time for her because she's senior. She can give good advice to all the family members, and she can show by her example what she's learned. So that's a good way to plan out our life. We should have some systematic thinking. What am I going to be doing in 25 years? What will I be doing? We should plan this now. Don't wait till you're 50 and then suddenly you say, "Oh, vanaprastha time, I'm not ready." Plan it out so you are ready. Sometimes we see devotees, they don't take these things seriously enough, and then when the time comes and they're not ready. And that's unfortunate, because if they're not ready, then they're probably not going to be ready to go back to Godhead. These things are systematic aids for us to learn how to utilize the time properly. Right? It's an indication. It's like they tell you when you're at the airport, they say, the train, when you're on one of those trains, you know, going to the, you know, maybe you don't have those here, but they have these very fast trains that take you from one terminal to the other, they say. Be careful, the train is about to stop, hold on. Because it stops very quickly, the doors will be opening in just a moment. They give you announcements. Because they don't want you to be caught without being aware. So Vedic culture is, gives us warnings, gives us plans. Okay, plan this out, 25 years education, 25 years production, 25 years retiring, and then 25 years disseminating the knowledge that you have acquired to others. Then, let's look at the day. Now we've described the lifetime, what to use, how to utilize it in general. Then we've divided the life into four sections, four divisions, ideally. Now the day, we've discussed about that we don't want to oversleep. So here's an ideal division of the day, healthy division. 6 hours for sleeping, 6 hours for occupation, 6 hours for spiritual activities, and 6 hours for bodily and family maintenance. This is a guideline. Because if you work so hard making money, 12 hours, 15 hours, then you're missing out on, you're not utilizing your time for some other important things. What about spiritual life? What about philosophical things? What about the higher things? Those are also important. But a practical person living in this world, we have to be concerned with the other things too. We have to get some money. We have to live. So some occupation is there. Whether it's brahminical occupation or kshatriya occupation, vaishya occupation or shudra occupation, it doesn't matter. But we don't want to overwork. Generally, our society now has overemphasized working to the point where people become workaholics and they become nervous wrecks also. So what happens when they work so much and they need some relief from work? So what do? Then they take intoxication because it's too many things are overloading. You know, trying to make money all the time, thinking that so many details, and they become so oppressed, so many anxieties. Right? Look at their lifestyle. It's full of anxieties, always, you know, plaguing them. They're cheating. They're not doing things in a very straightforward or honest way, so they're always afraid they're going to get caught. And they'll... So in this anxiety, they need some intoxication. Intoxication is becoming a very, very prominent factor in our society, whether it's legal or illegal. Legally, people use intoxication, they go, they drink alcohol. And then now, they have the drug stores. So that's another type of intoxication. You buy all these drugs. People taking so many prescribed drugs. No. It's another type of intoxication. Why? Because they didn't use their time for spiritual cultivation. Now they have to use some mechanical means to try to make their minds peaceful. Because their minds are agitated. But spiritual life makes the mind peaceful in a natural way. And in an enlightened way. In a healthy way. Whereas, if we don't use the time for example, chanting, we spend 2 hours a day chanting, generally, devotees. Now,
The materialist may think, oh, what a waste of time. Oh, you could be making hundreds of dollars. You know, they'll say, 2 hours a day, okay. You know what I make an hour? I make $35, $40 an hour. So that's $80 a day times seven, $560 a week. They'll calculate it out for you. Then they'll multiply it times a month, that's $2,400 a month. And times 12 is $30,000 a year. You're wasting just by that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. $30,000 you could have. Imagine right now if you had $30,000, they'll go on. Telling you, if you had $30,000 in your pocket, wouldn't you like it? Yeah. Stop chanting. Start working more. But then, if you examine his life, you'll see he wastes $30,000 on psychiatrists, on drugs, intoxication, going on, you know, to clubs, casinos, gambling, smoking, drinking, what else? Hospital bills, medical bills, huh? All these things. Fancy cars that he doesn't need, and then the anxiety has to. His 30,000 is taken away by all these other things, and the devotee is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He's in a healthy state of consciousness. So, yes, you might get the 20, 30,000 more if you push yourself, but look what will happen to you. You'll be dead sooner, and you'll go through so many miseries, and you won't get self-realization, and you won't be happy. Okay, any questions on some of these points so far? We can see if any... Does sound reasonable? It's ways to manage time. This is the Vedas. This is not my idea. This comes from the Vedic. Prabhupada even said that a Vaishya who's taking care of growing things, he said if he works 3 months a year, his whole economic problem is solved. That's 1/4. He said if he works hard for 3 months, the rest of the year, he has enough food to provide for his whole family. See, the Vedic culture is, you don't try to get richer and richer and richer and richer. That's not the idea. Making more money and more money and more money and more money. No, it's not based on this matter. Make what you need and then utilize the rest of the time for self-realization. Yes?
Yes, my life just came to mind that it seems that Western culture is, or society is built up in that way that you have to work pretty hard to earn your livelihood. Everything is so cost in your living and...
Well, it depends on what standard of life you set for living. For example, I'll give you... One time Prabhupada was, I think this was in Australia, I was told this story. Devotee was, he was there. It was his, he had a big house. They had gotten a big house and he was thinking of using the house for him and his family. So Prabhupada came in and toured around the house and said, oh good, you can, because each room, he said, you can put a family in each room. The devotee was shocked. There were like 12 rooms. So probably has 12 families. Look at India. Even wealthy people, they often live in very simple environment. So we have a conception that, well, living means you have a house, three bedrooms, three cars, three car garage, and a big, yeah, this is our conception, the American conception of, you know, what it means to be a, what do they call it, a nuclear family. Nuclear, if you go to America, you'll see, they, you know, the ideal is you have your house and, you know, you live, no parents there, no in-laws, just you, your wife, two, 1.8 children or 2.3 children. and you know, a dog and a cat in every backyard, and you know, two cars. It's all planned out. That's the standard. Well, yeah. If you want to maintain that standard, then they make it so that you have to work very hard. And look, everyone's a wreck. People who live like that, they're all living in credit. It's all based on, in order to buy the house, you don't have the money. You don't have $100,000. They said, no problem. We'll loan it to you for a very small interest. You say, oh, this is great. This is wonderful, isn't it? They're so nice to me. They're loaning me all this money. Now I've got the house. But then you have the house, and you have to pay the interest, and then there's the interest rate, there's penalties, and interest rates keeps going up. Then there's insurance you have to pay on the house, and there's security on the house, and then there's maintenance on the house, and then you have to, everybody has to keep their garden, their grass, very nice, it costs money. You can't live in a house like that unless you keep your garden just right. You can't say, I'll live here, but I won't care about my garden. Save money. No, it's not allowed. The neighborhood group will come over and say, your yard. No, really, you can't do it. You don't have a choice. You must keep your garden. You must mow the lawn once a week, and all these things that cost money, takes time. You have to do all that. And you have to have nice cars. You can't live in a nice house and have junky cars. It's not acceptable. And you have to keep up with the latest fashions. You have to go to Gap. You have Gap here? You have Gap. You have to go to Gap. Or, what was it? Abercrombie and Fitch. You have to go there. You have to buy the latest styles. Otherwise, not acceptable. You have to style your hair. Keep your hair in style, cost money. All these things cost money. You have to have a very heavy health insurance. You have to spend a lot of money for that. You can't live without health. If someone tries to live without health insurance, the in-laws, the family members, will be aghast. You have to have health insurance. So in this way, everything becomes... You think it's going to be simple, but it's not simple. It becomes more... And then, if you have this nice house, but you don't have a big television, well, how can you live? If your friends come over and you have one old-fashioned little TV, they go, look at this. How can you watch TV on this thing? It's not that you don't have a big one. And you have to have all the channels. No, disc, what is it? Satellite disc, you have to have it. If someone comes over and you don't have, let's watch the Olympics, I don't have the satellite disc. What? No satellite disc? Oh, they won't want to come over. You'll have this nice house, no one wants to come over. So one thing after another, your time is wasted. Just maintaining the house, paying off the bills, so you can live there. But if someone is willing to live, like I like this apartment we have here that I'm staying in. This is nice. This is a nice, small, compact little place. It's sufficient for our necessities. We don't need so much. What do we need so much space for? So, if one is willing, or as I was speaking with Murli Krishna, so I said, do you have a car? No, I don't need a car, take the bus. So, save so much money, you don't have to maintain a car, the insurance is very expensive. So, if one is willing to live very simply, then he doesn't require so much. It's like our clothing, you know, our styles. We don't have to change our styles all the time. Getting new style, same style, thousands of years. So wear the same clothes. And it's always in style, it's never out of style. People come up and they say, oh, I really like those clothes. Right? The ladies and the men, they like those. So they look so comfortable. Yes. Save money. same style. Shave your own head. You don't have to go to the barber or the salon. The women in the Vedic culture, they don't cut their hair. It just keeps growing. All they do is they wash it and they make braids. Well, they make a braid. That's it. Part time. That's it. Sometimes for big celebrations they decorate, but they don't have to worry about all these styles. And all that. This lip flips. That saves so much money. People go to these styling salons, they spend hundreds, thousands of dollars. Because a devotee, his life is simple, therefore he saves time, saves money. How much money do we save not smoking, not going to clubs, not going out to dinner? Just, people are shocked when they hear how simple the devotees live. When Prabhupada he was quite happy about it. He said, he was boasting, he said, when I first came to your country, I was living. And so one man came and he walked in and said, huh? You have no furniture. Where's your furniture? Prabhupada said, I don't need any furniture. I can sit down on the floor. I can sleep on the floor. The man was shocked. He didn't think that you could live without furniture. So, a devotee has a whole different view of life. His life is so simplified. Simple cloth, simple eating, a little rice, a little cake, a little chapati, a simple vegetable. No smoking, no drinking, no clubs, no. He doesn't even need to take vacations because his life is already a vacation from the material world. He doesn't have to spend so much money to go somewhere else to get away from the miserable situation that he's living in. That's why devotees happy. They can live. I'm happy. He's already living in Krishna, in Vrindavan. So what does he need to take a vacation for? He doesn't need to go anywhere. He's already living with Krishna. You take a vacation from something that you don't like, that's oppressive. But Krishna consciousness, life is so happy and simple. He's associating with Krishna. He doesn't need to save so much money, so much time. They spend so much energy on these vacations. They suffer so much tribulation to go on these vacations. So, in this way, the answer to your question is, yes, if you want to keep up with the Joneses, or the, what's the main name in Finland? What's the?
Virtanen.
You want to keep up with the Virtanens. Then yes, you have to do all these things, and it's a lot of time, a lot of work. You have to work hard. But if you're willing to live a very simple life, minimize the expenditures, then you don't need to work so hard. Then you can put in, as we said here, then you can take 6 hours for bodily and family maintenance, 6 hours for occupation. That bodily and family maintenance means keeping clean. Keep everything very clean. Keep your body clean. Keep your family's body clean. Make sure they're keeping clean. Make sure they have clean clothes every day. In the outside world, they don't clean their clothes every day, isn't it? I think most people don't. They don't wash their clothes every day. They don't put on fresh clothes every day. So that's not very hygienic. And they do so many things which are not good for cleanliness, not good for health. If we keep our place very clean, we keep clothes very clean, keep the food very clean. This takes some time to keep things clean. But we have time. Then, spending time with the family, making sure that they're cultivating their spiritual life. Not only do I have to spend time on my own spiritual activities, but I have to make sure if I'm the father or if I'm the mother, Don't become a guru, don't become a father, don't become a mother, unless you can deliver your dependents from the cycle of birth and death. So the parents, they have no time to take care of their children nowadays. They send them to the nursery school, to the care centers, and they're off working. And they put them in front of the television, they give them the video games, and they just go. They don't train their children. Then their children become monsters, and they're all distressed. Oh, my child now has become addicted to drugs. Now he wants to commit suicide. But because you didn't train, you didn't spend time. You just had him watching television. Of course he's going to do the horrible things. What do they do on television? All horrible things. Okay? So this is, it's a practical way of life. Live simply within your means. If God gives you a lot of wealth, okay, then you can use it for Krishna's service. But live within your means. Whatever God has given you as your destiny, as whatever money you get, okay, live within that. Don't be borrowing more and more and more, living in credit. It's not so much anxiety. There's always the danger. You know, these credit companies, their banks, they're very, very cutthroat, as they say. If you make one mistake, if you're one day late, they love it, because then they raise the interest rate. And then there's penalties. And if you're, oh, I was just a little late, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry. You know, didn't you read it? It was in the contract there. And if you miss the payment, if you're a little late, then the interest rate goes very high. Okay, the next category is time killers. Now, you know, we've discussed some of the ways to save time. But what are the time killers? So, movies, television, these are time killers. Because somebody produced them as an entertaining diversion for an audience and as a means of fundraising for himself. Why does someone make a movie or a television show? He wants to entertain his audience, but he wants to make money for himself. This is like a fire. A fire can consume limitless fuel. So similarly, trying to satisfy material desires with the fuel of indulgence, it just makes the flames higher and higher. So the more we watch these things, we spend our time, we don't actually gain anything. We just waste time. And we become addicted. Addiction. If you take a person who's addicted to watching 6 hours of television a day, and you put them in a situation where they can't watch television, they're very nice. They don't know how to live. They don't know what to do with their time. They're used to just, they're addicted. So these are very dangerous addictions. Television, movies, Internet, same thing. Internet is on the same level as television, surfing around. Jayato vishayan pungsa samgaste shvajayate samgat samjayate kama kama kodam vijayate. Contemplating the object of the senses, one develops attachment for them. From attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger rises. From anger, then one becomes bewildered. Then the loss of memory, when memory is lost, one falls down into the material pool. This is the system. How one becomes attached, how one becomes defeated by material energy. So these are time killers. So someone may say, but I need entertainment. Yes, we do need entertainment. We do need some kind of cultural or to give some relaxation, some pleasure to our mind and senses and intelligence. That's a fact. So the Vedic culture provides nice entertainment. You can watch dramas about Krishna's pastimes or Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. Prabhupada said that when he was young, he remembers that his family would go in the evenings to visit friends and family members, and they would have discussions of Ramayana and Mahabharata. And they would be hearing all these nice stories, and then on the way back they'd be talking about them, and then at night they'd be dreaming Mahabharata and Ramayana. So it's so satisfying to hear about the stories of Mahabharata and Ramayana, or to see the dramas enacted. This is nice. This is a good way to utilize the time. Otherwise, you'll be watching some Spider-Man or Catwoman or some other kind of episode, some adventure, some romance. You'll be seeing some mundane romance. Why not have divine romance? Why not hear about Krishna and the gopis, or Krishna with his queens, or Ramachandra with Sita? That's romance, but it's spiritual romance. And it doesn't bring one to a lower level, it brings one to a higher level. So we just have to make some arrangement to make sure that my entertainment is all transcendental. It's like coming to Aarti in the evening. This is so nice, because instead of watching television, we come. And we see the beautiful Lord all dressed, nicely decorated, a nice ceremony, hear music. Instead of going to the club, they go to the club and they drink, and then they can try to turn on some music and dance. Well, we get to do that for free. We don't have to go, we don't have to drink. We can dance for free, we have our own little disco here every night. Right? We have our own disco club here. But instead of drinking, you chant. And you dance, and the Lord is here. That's the entertainment. We get to look at the Lord. It is said in this Srimad Bhagavatam that looking at the form of the Lord is a complete festival for all the senses. Seeing the form of the Lord. Therefore, if you hear what the residents of Mathura or Dwarka, what they said about the form of the Lord, they just went on and on. Look at his lotus feet. Look at his lotus eyes. Look at his garland. Look at his earrings. Every part of his decoration, they just become excited about it. So it takes practice. You have to practice meditating on the form of the Lord. Dhyayato. Dhyayato means meditation. In yoga, there's eightfold mystic yoga path, and one of them is meditation. Meditating on what? Meditating on the form of Vishnu or Krishna. This is a festival. This is enjoyment. Another item is concentration. When we're doing a particular activity, we should concentrate on that activity and not think of everything else. That's a better use of time. For example, when it's time for driving, this is the time to concentrate on driving. If you're thinking of too many other things, then your driving may be faulty and you may get in an accident. When it's time for driving, concentrate on driving. Now they have cell phone, Nokia, your people here. They have all these cell phones. So they're driving with one hand. Sometimes they're shifting also. They have one phone like this, and they're shifting, and then while they're shifting, they leave the wheel. Very dangerous. So driving, don't worry about talking. It's more safe. Better to utilize the time for what it's meant for. Otherwise, they get in so much anxiety. They create a society full of anxiety. It's an anxiety society. Here's the point about marriage. Time management also includes the possession and exercise of good timing. Having said that, we also recognize that certain spiritual projects are transcendental, and as such, one does not need to make time considerations in their regard. For example, absolutely any time is a good time to chant Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna can be done morning, noon, and night, in heaven or in hell, or in prosperity, or as well as in poverty. Marriage is an important aspect of mating that should be readily accepted, since we are not just machines, we also give our time to cultivate relationships. Actually, giving time to relationships is valuable, but this has to be utilized in the proper way in order to benefit the relationship. When one gets married, the main objective is to keep the marriage solvent, for if the marriage falls apart, then what one is left with is a lot of wasted time. Isn't it? We see that. Marriages, they get married, have children, then divorce. It's a big mess. The children are not given proper cultivation and training. The wife is upset, the husband's upset, and the business is upset. So therefore, give sufficient time to making sure that the marriage remains solvent. This is an important point. People don't spend enough time cultivating that relationship. It's a science how to keep marriage together, how to cultivate. And a lot of it has to do with association. For example, in the Vedic culture, they associate with others who are happily married. It's very important. The young wife, when she gets married, she's taught to associate with other happily married women. And this way she learns, this is very nice. I see how they've been married all their lives and they're happy, and then I will also do that. But if she associates with other women who are not chaste and who have broken families and so many things, then she'll be influenced by that. So association is very important. And putting proper time into maintaining these institutions, it's worth it. Invest the time in training your children in a Krishna conscious way, then they'll come out good, you'll be happy with them. But if you don't spend the time when they're young, then don't be surprised what happens when they get older. You didn't invest the time, now you're going to suffer. Okay, any questions on any of these? Yes? What is?
Lower plant systems, like earth and earth. Earth is more ideal for practicing spirituality.
What is?
Earth plant.
Oh, excuse me.
Is it only earth or even below planetary systems?
No, middle planetary systems, earthly. Lower planetary systems are not so favorable. No, it's because there's much ignorance down there. No, they don't even have sunshine. And the sun doesn't reach down there. It's blocked by the earth. They live, it's underground, Bila. It's called Bila, means in holes. They live in holes down there. Underground. It's not very conducive. You don't get sun. I mean, they have their, shall we say, their artificial light from the jewels on the heads of the serpents. But how would you like to live with the light from the jewels on the heads of serpents? Do you think that's very nice to have these? That's the only light available is from the serpents. Better to get from the sun. You know, Surya is the mode of goodness. Moon is the mode of goodness. Yes?
Like you told that there are four divisions of the day, like 6 hours for.
Well, this is my particular suggestion.
No, that is like very simple.
So what the question is, what to do if we're forced to work 8 hours? Well,
have to, then sometimes we may have to make adjustments according to time and circumstance. Because if you're employed by someone, that means it's a shooter job. Okay. So if the other three don't have to work according to others. For example, the Brahman, he can decide how much time he works. And the Kshatriya also, he's not employed by someone else. And the Vaishya also, he sets his own hours. So out of the four, three can decide their own time, their work time. And Shudra, he may have to work for temporarily, maybe. But maybe at a certain time he can adjust, he can say, is there a way I can... But that's 6 hours a day, that's also 7 days a week. So if you work 8 hours for 5 days, it works out the same. So you may do a little bit more for 5 days, but you have 2 days off and you can spend more time for spiritual activities, isn't it? Isn't that a good idea? If a grihastha works 5 days a week, 8 hours, but then the 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, they can utilize for more spiritual activities. Make up for it. So then it works out. Anything else? Yeah?
We also have discussed that the human life is very, very important. I had so many experiences that instead of telling so many times to my friends or somebody that they got a supply of human life, getting human life, still they won't recognize it and they will keep on engaging in sense gratification. Do that kind of persons want to tell, to convince them?
How to convince them?
Yes.
Give them prasadam. They may not be able to be convinced by philosophy, because they're already excited about the... But give them prasadam, and maybe let them chant. Tell them, yes, alright, you can live your life of sense gratification. Maybe add some chanting. At least come on Sunday and see the deity. So that will help them. Just like yourself, you weren't always thinking Krishna is the most important thing. But by association, gradually, one gains a taste, becomes attractive, because Krishna is very attractive. I'll just come and see the deity. Just take a little prasadam. Here this bhajan. I'll come to Rath Yatra festival. Right? These things are very attractive. Oh, look, here's this new Bhagavad Gita interactive. Check it out. You know. So in this way, little by little, he becomes attracted. Oh, Bhagavad Gita, yeah, this is interesting. Yeah. He's checking. Becomes attracted to Krishna again. Oh, there's a sannyasi, a swami coming. Why don't you come and hear from him? He's a very nice speaker. Why don't you come and listen? Really? Nice swami? Yes, come and hear. In fact, that's what happened to Prabhupada. His friend was going. He said, oh, there's a very nice sadhu, a very nice saintly person. Here, I want you to come and see him. And Prabhupada said, I've seen all these swamis. I'm not very impressed by these. So, no, he's very, very nice. So the friend dragged, Prabhupada said, he actually dragged me to see Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So sometimes you can drag them also.
What is the retirement activity means? What do people do?
Prabhupada wanted these centers like Vrindavan, Mayapur to be especially good for retirement, for places to come to a holy place. You go and live in Vrindavan. I'm thinking like that. If I had to retire, let's say I had some horrible disease or some incurable disease, just go to Vrindavan, you can rent a place for almost nothing. Huh? What do they cost? A few rupees. And, right? In those little place, right near the temple, or in the temple, and you have your own little place, you can, you know, cook your own food, and wash and bathe, and leave your body in Vrindavan. What's the program? We don't need to have, you know, tubes stuck up our nose, and, you know, all attached to so many machines and things. We can leave our body chanting Hare Krishna and Vrindavan. Go back to home, back to Godhead.
So it's a question of preparing ourselves for these things. The time will come when we have to make these decisions. So if we plan it out now, we won't be shocked. We won't be surprised when it comes. That answer your question?
Yeah.
You can live in Vrindavan for very little money. Right? You can, those places you can rent for, what is it, 10 rupees a day, something like that? 20 rupees a day?
Even there are some free dharmasala.
That's something you can live free in a holy place. So, you may say, but how do I get a ticket to Vrindavan? Oh, okay, you put some money aside. So. You save up a little money, so I have my ticket to Vrindavan whenever I need it. I have that money, I can immediately buy a ticket to Vrindavan. Or, it doesn't have to be Vrindavan, some holy place. There's so many, even our temples are holy places. Don't think that these temples are just ordinary. No, they're also holy places. So you can live near a temple. Alright, anything else? Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Gaurinathai ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.